Let's do the 60-second savings challenge. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link your accounts and see every subscription you're paying for. Tap one you don't use and cancel it. That's money back every month. Step three, create a financial goal. $50 every paycheck. Or let the app automatically move small amounts of cash when you can afford it. In a week, you'll forget you set it up. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you've saved. Bonus challenge. Upload an internet or phone bill and let Rocket Money try to lower it. You only pay if they find you savings. On average, Rocket Money members can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. Make saving money the resolution you actually keep. Start the 60-second savings challenge at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Time is valuable. That's why Lowe's Blueprint Takeoffs turn blueprints into quotes faster. Bring us your plans, and we'll generate itemized material lists to make quoting easier so you can get back to building. Plus, at the Lowe's Pro Desk, you get access to thousands of building materials not sold in store. And when your order's ready, we'll deliver everything to the job site. Improving is easy at Lowe's.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome into Morning Invest on this Thursday, October 29th. Clayton Morris, so glad to have you here on the show. Got a lot of news to get to today because I don't know if anyone told you, there's only 5 days left until an election. And we have got a lot of craziness going on right now. Right now, people's nerves are just shot. 70% of Americans say it's affecting their stress levels. 70%. And we're seeing a record voting turnout, early voting. Upwards of 70 million people have already voted. That's half of the total vote count in 2018. They've already voted. Huge, huge election turnout numbers already. So we're going to talk about the latest poll numbers, the latest election numbers. We're going to be looking at the stimulus this morning in terms of Wall Street and why there's a nightmare scenario playing out on Wall Street. If you were looking at your stocks yesterday or your 401k yesterday, you were probably going, what's going on to my entire retirement? Oh, that's because the stock market crapped its pants yesterday after what President Trump said about no stimulus before the election. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about how far apart any of the chambers of Congress still are on a potential stimulus. But more importantly, this nightmare scenario that Wall Street is now mapping out. We'll show you the battleground map and how this is all playing out. So we'll get to the nightmare scenario for a stimulus. We're also going to look at some environmental protections. President Trump is really like the environmental president, one of the worst environmental presidents that we've seen in our lifetime. Now about to add to his list of environmental rollbacks. And this one could have catastrophic consequences, according to environmentalists this morning. So we'll tell you about that. We're also going to tell you about some big businesses that are continuing to screw the American people and some major news out of Boeing overnight and Walmart and Amazon. All of those and more we'll tell you about this morning on the show. So welcome in. If you're new here, let me know. Say, hey, I'm new in the chat. We do this live every morning at 9 a.m. Eastern time. Please subscribe to the channel. No, YouTube tells me that 70% of you watch, but only 30% are subscribed. So just subscribe to the channel and you can turn on that little bell notification so you'll be notified every morning when we go live. You'll get that little notification. So thank you so much. Grover is here, passed out or nearly passed out. Even though we got him a bigger bed, he's still climbing into this little tiny nugget bed. So he's my co-host. Occasionally you'll hear him barking at cats or if he doesn't like particular news stories. So forgive me for the barking dog in the background. So let's talk about this nightmare scenario in a stimulus. There is this, really it is a nightmare scenario playing out for Wall Street and the American people, and it's playing out right before our eyes on these battleground states. We'll get to that in a second. But we'll start with this, because President Trump yesterday announced, he admitted, no stimulus coming before the election. Done. We already knew that, though. We've been saying it here for weeks, it's not going to happen. We weren't going to really report on anything stimulus related unless we had some actual news on the stimulus front. And now we do. President Trump officially saying there won't be any stimulus before Election Day. In addition to which, we've now seen a letter that Nancy Pelosi sent to Steven Mnuchin, really pointing out all of the areas that they are fully removed or far apart on. Interestingly, back on October 15th, Steven Mnuchin said, and I quote, "When I speak to Pelosi today," this is 2 weeks ago, "I'm going to tell her that we're not going to let the testing issue stand in the way of stimulus. We'll fundamentally agree with their testing language subject to minor issues," end quote. So October 15th, Mnuchin says, testing, we're not going to let that interfere. We're going to get this done. Yesterday, Pelosi in her letter, "We still have not received a final answer on testing." So she sends a letter to him like, "Hey, are you, we've been waiting on this testing thing for 2 weeks now. Where are you on this?" Beyond that, though, Wall Street took a nosedive yesterday, down nearly almost 1,000 points. They're joining all of their European friends right now, all of the markets across Europe. Of course, additional lockdowns unfolding now across Europe, France. We'll get to all those lockdowns and coronavirus map in just a minute. But the nightmare scenario now playing out on a stimulus has to do with the election, specifically the Senate. So let me put up this map here. And this is what Wall Street is most nervous about, because Wall Street had been hoping that President Trump would come out and say, "We've got a stimulus plan," before the election, that we wouldn't have to deal with the uncertainty of an election in order to get stimulus through. Well, guess what, folks? Here's the nightmare scenario. The nightmare scenario is if Vice President Biden wins, which is by all accounts going to happen at this point, all of the polling shows that that's the case. If Biden wins, but the Senate remains Republican. So I want you to take a look at this map right here. This is the Senate map. These are the latest numbers. Zoom in a little bit here for you. So these are the latest numbers. There are only 9 seats up for grabs. Any of these seats right now that are in gray, these are the toss-up states. Go up there to Maine, Susan Collins, battleground state right now for Maine. Susan Collins trying to hang on to her Republican seat. North Carolina, South Carolina, Lindsey Graham in a tight race in South Carolina, begging for money on Fox News Channel. Iowa, Joni Ernst in a tight race in Iowa. Doesn't know the cost of soybeans. Michigan, Minnesota, Montana, and Arizona. Georgia. So these are all states right now where this is a very tight race when it comes to the Senate. So what happens here if the Senate stays Republican? Nightmare. Senate does not want, and especially if it's an emboldened Republican Senate, if Mitch McConnell wins re-election. I mean, look at this. Mitch McConnell, easily one of the most disliked senators in the country. And I'm not making that up. That's the truth. Even among his Kentuckians, he's incredibly low-level approval rating. And yet he always wins because of big money. So when you look at Kentucky, he's winning there right now. Look at it in pink, not red, but pink. He'll probably win against Amy McGrath. Alabama, who knows? So if the Senate remains Republican, then nothing will happen. Because everyone's saying, well, if Joe Biden wins, and great, then I guess the Senate will be blue as well, and the House will be blue, and then, you know, come January, Joe can push through a big package. Joe Biden can push through a big stimulus package and cram all kinds of stuff in there on the environment, and the list would go on. Infrastructure, it would be massive, especially if they have a supermajority. But the Senate shaping up to have issues now, and if the Senate remains in Mitch McConnell's hands, nada. That's what Wall Street is most concerned with. It's the uncertainty of the election is troubling for them. But even more damning is the potential that it could actually end up be totally deadlocked, gridlocked in Congress, which is what it's been for a long time anyway. But now this would be solidified for many years to come. So Biden getting anything through on a stimulus plan, not going to happen. And we already know that Republicans have no taste in the Senate to pass a larger stimulus right now. You think they're going to do it under President Biden? No way. The other reason we're now seeing that this Senate map is so tight is because of the Supreme Court. Mitch McConnell coming out yesterday saying, hey, look, because we've been able to get through Amy Coney Barrett, some of those tight Senate races have now moved in our direction. Because they were able to push through Amy Coney Barrett, a conservative on the Supreme Court. And Mitch McConnell basically admitted yesterday, he said this, that now has helped some of those vulnerable Republicans. I hate to bring this nightmare scenario to you, but the fact that Wall Street is seeing it in, you know, as bright as day. This is why, if you were trying to understand yesterday, why did the stock market plunge 1,000 points? Is it just because Trump said no stimulus before Election Day? Yeah. But now it's some of the latest polling out of the Senate that looks like we could have a totally gridlocked government in over the next 2 years until we have new Senate elections, etc. So where are we right now in the election? Well, let's take a look at some of the other data that's out this morning. Here's the broader map right now in the presidential race. Right now, 181 electoral votes up for grabs across the country. Biden has clearly 232 already in the can. And Trump has 125 clearly already in the can. Now, a number of states have now officially moved, according to Inside Elections, from leaning one way or the other to toss up. Texas has now moved to a toss-up state, officially. Arizona, toss-up. Nevada, toss-up. Florida, toss-up. Georgia moves from toss-up to now tilting Democratic. North Carolina has now moved from toss-up to tilting Democratic. Wisconsin, where President Trump has been spending a boatload of time, still a toss-up. Pennsylvania, a toss-up. Pennsylvania, Joe Biden has about a 5-point lead right now. So let's analyze Pennsylvania, my home state. Very tricky state, right? You have Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, of course, larger urban areas, of course, usually vote Democratic. But you have the middle of the state, which we kind of grew up in Pennsylvania. It was called, a lot of people would jokingly call it, Pennsylvania. So that's good news. That's good news. He's got some good news on my baby girl. Okay, good. Whew, good, 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 good. Okay. Anyway, so Pennsylvania in the center of the state has traditionally, you know, it can be toss up depending on, you know, when Bill Clinton went Barack Obama, went for Trump instead of Hillary. So it can fluctuate. It can undulate, if you will. But President Trump has been pushing a hard, he's trying to close with his going back to his roots on these issues, talking about fracking, talking about closing up the oil industry, how it's going to hurt Pennsylvania jobs, et cetera, all of these things that he's trying to hit on right now. So Biden is up in Pennsylvania about five, almost 6 points. Hillary Clinton was up also in the last minute polling. Even on Election Day, Hillary was up by, I think, 2 points in Pennsylvania, or a point and a half. She loses Pennsylvania by almost like 0.7. So if you think about those numbers, let's think about the Hillary numbers for a second. In Pennsylvania, she's up 2 points or point and a half on Election Day. The very polling that came out on Election Day in Pennsylvania. And I was out. I remember I was out in Butler, Pennsylvania that day covering the election in a densely, I mean, the excitement for Trump out there was strong in Butler, Pennsylvania. Not so much anymore. That has faded. Not a ton, but it's faded significantly. Enough that Joe Biden can make a play there and pull this victory off in Pennsylvania. So right now, the margin of error, even if Biden is with 5 points and you still take away those two Hillary points, he's still up and still wins with 5 days left. Now, things could shift. I don't think they're going to shift that much in 5 days, though. If this, what we've seen so far is these numbers have held strong for months, and they haven't moved. People have made up their mind on this. So Pennsylvania, you know, if he loses Pennsylvania and Florida, it's over. It's over before the cows come home. So Florida, of course, is another toss-up state. Interestingly, though, President Trump has pulled up a lot of advertising, $5 million in ad spending in Florida President Trump is now, he's still running about $300,000 left that he has to spend in Florida, but he's taking that additional $5 million and putting it into Wisconsin and Pennsylvania and reallocating that money. What do you make of that? Think Trump loses Florida? Or do you think he's so confident in Florida that he's going to pull up the ad spending there? Interesting to look. Certainly the Latino population, a very strong Cuban-American population that's supporting Trump in Florida. So interesting to see the Latino dynamic in Florida and a lot of those New Yorkers who have moved to Florida over the past few years. How do they stack up? How do they help influence this? There's been a mass exodus from New Jersey and New York to the Sunshine State. So all of this, of course, comes on the backdrop of coronavirus. So the latest coronavirus news this morning is not good. In the final week before election, new coronavirus infections have soared to an all-time high. The data out this morning is really troubling in the United States. And of course, we can thank this cold weather for all of this, right? Look at Maine right now, 54% increase. So these states up in this cold weather area, 51% increase. Now everyone's going indoors, mingling with each other, 124% increase in Vermont. New Hampshire up. All of these states in brown are increasing. Dark brown, Vermont, most trouble. This is bad, bad. So this is virtually guaranteeing, folks, that the pandemic will be the most prominent issue in America as voters choose the next president. Clearly, unemployment, pandemic, top of the list. That's not the way it was back in January, though, was it? The big picture right now, cases are surging. And local hospitals are straining. President Trump, of course, continuing to say that, hey, we're rounding the corner. This is done. We're done with this thing. Remember during the debate, he said, we're rounding the corner. We're done. Yesterday, he was at a campaign stop. And at a campaign stop, he said the same thing. He said, we are turning the corner. It's perfect. He said, look at this. It's perfect. He said, we're rounding, like this racetrack. He was speaking at a racetrack. He said, look at this. We're rounding like this racetrack. Look at this. It's perfect. We're rounding the curve. We will vanquish the virus, he said. Here's what he said at the debate, if you forgot.
It will go away. And as I say, we're rounding the turn. We're rounding the corner. It's going away.
Okay. Now we're at a record, an all-time high. And by the way, those states, remember during the debate when he said, you know, they had a spike in Texas, they had a spike in Wisconsin, and it went away. It went away. He said that during the debate a week ago. Well, look at the map again. Look where these spikes are happening again. Texas, Wisconsin, areas that he said it went away. Well, it's back. It's back. Meanwhile, does Joe Biden have a plan for coronavirus, other than like a national mask mandate? I don't know. I don't think it's much of anything. Democrats, of course, playing the card right now that the pandemic is all Trump's fault. And that their lack of action back in February and March are the reason we're in this predicament right now. No national leadership on this front. I've been saying that. There's been no national leadership. But what's your alternative? What can you, a national mask mandate? Pushing for a vaccine? We're already doing that. What else is there? What is your plan, Joe? I haven't heard much of anything.
Come on, man.
Sorry. Joe Biden said yesterday, quote, even if I win, it's going to take a lot of hard work to end this pandemic. I'm not running on the false promise of being able to end this pandemic by flipping a switch. We will start on day one doing the right things. We'll let science drive our decisions. Okay, but what are those things? That's what I'm asking. What are those things? No one expects anyone to be able to flip a switch on this. Look at Germany this morning. New lockdowns throughout Europe. Germany, Angela Merkel, they were being heralded as the saviors of coronavirus. Science in Germany, testing, tracing, all of that. Science, science, science. Great. Germany announced a full month lockdown now with closures of restaurants, bars, gyms until the end of November. Schools, businesses, and shops can stay open as long as distancing measures are followed. France, which our hearts go out to that country this morning, yet another terrorist attack there. As a man yelling, Allah Akbar, attacks three kills three individuals, beheads two of them in Nice, France. France announced a stricter lockdown until December 1st, closing all restaurants and shops. Primary schools will remain in person, but universities are asked to go online. Taiwan. What is Taiwan doing right? Well, number one, it's an island. It holds the world record right now for 200 days without a new COVID case. I love how we praise all these island countries. New Zealand. God, you have no COVID. And your borders are closed and you're an island. So unless COVID people are parachuting in, spreading COVID, like, oh no, here comes another one. He's jumping out of that plane. Run. It's COVID Johnny. He's jumping in here. Seal your borders and don't let anyone in. Australia, the same thing. I have a friend in Australia who had her second child, and my old co-host, Anna, by the way, and her parents in America haven't been able to see the child yet. She had it. Did she have it during lockdown? February? January, February. And her parents in North Carolina haven't been able to see him. Sad, isn't that? It's crazy. And there's no sign that that's going to happen anytime soon. He might be 1 year old before he even gets to meet her grandparents. But that's why there's no COVID there. They've locked down these island towns, these island countries. So these numbers are scary, folks. I want to tell you about today's sponsor, our friends over at Outlet Finance. So if you want a 6% interest savings account where you can move some of this money right now, many of you were asking yesterday about, hey, I got this 401k, I want to move some money out of it, where should I put it? Well, I have a savings account that I use, gives you a 6% return annually on every dollar you put in there. You will never get that at your local bank. Why? Because it's backed by cryptocurrency. It's backed by Ethereum. So you can deposit your money anytime, withdraw it at any time. They've got insurance on your money, and they will deposit free money into your account just for opening account. And it's just a savings account. So you can put $100 in there. You can start, test it out for a month, see what you like. You get to see your interest every week popping up inside the app. It's really cool. So the way to get that free money, you have to use our link. Go to morninginvest.com/outlet. It's not available in every state. I have a meeting with them. They're going to fill me in on, they're working on Texas and New York. They're going to be adding some of these states. Some states have higher regulation they have to deal with. So it is backed by cryptocurrency. Go to morninginvest.com/outlet to start earning 6% on every dollar that you have in your savings account, rather than losing money every day when you have it in one of those Wells Fargo or other savings accounts where you have a 0.001% return on interest. That means, and inflation is 2%, that means you're losing money every day that your money is in one of those savings accounts. So at least get an account that helps you beat inflation. That's the goal. So our thanks to Outlet. We've got more to get to here on the show. I want to talk about this. Check in on Grover here. How's this guy doing? You okay over there, buddy? He got like a scratch on his head? What is that? A little mohawk? All right. Well, President Trump could be one of the worst environmental presidents we've seen in my lifetime. And today, he can add another arrow to his quiver. Because this morning, President Trump is about to roll back. He's going to open up more than half of Alaska's Tongass National Forest. He woke up to this headline this morning. Trump to strip protections from Tongass National Forest, one of the biggest intact temperate rainforests in America and in the world. So what this will happen is he's going to open this up to logging and other forms of development, this amazing area. And they're going to allow logging and other forms of development, according to a notice posted Wednesday, stripping protections that had safeguarded one of the world's most intact temperate rainforests for nearly two decades. Of course, they were put in place under President Clinton back in 2001. This is one of the most sweeping public lands rollbacks that Trump has enacted as president. Hey, trying to sneak these things in right before Election Day, right? Get these in there right before Election Day. The reason that this is so troubling, according to environmentalists, is because this is an old growth forest. These trees are twice the age of America. Can you wrap your... Whenever I hear stuff like that, like, hey, that turtle is older than America. You ever see one of those like big, massive turtles? What are they, like tortoise? What are they? Those big... I don't know. I'm looking over at you like you're a biologist. Like you're a zoologist. Philip, do you know what those things are? The giant ones, you know, that you see them at a zoo? They don't move. Tortoise? Yeah, like the Australian... Turtles live in the sea. Okay. Yeah. You're not tuning in here. You're not tuning into Animal Planet to get your animal news, that's for sure. Anyway, the big-ass ones, you know what I'm talking about. Those things like are 300 years old. Anytime I hear that that's the case, I'm like, wait a second, that's older than America? That turtle? That tortoise? I can't wrap my heads around it. I have multiple heads. Give me some more coffee this morning. So... these trees are like 400 and 500 years old. Massive. And the reason that this is such an issue is because it's considered a carbon sink, meaning that it's been sucking CO2 out of the atmosphere for 500 years. And when you cut these trees down, environmentalists say that this could, it's the equivalent of putting 10 million new cars on the road. Think about that for a minute. Putting 10 million new cars on the road at a time when we have increasing CO2 emissions in this world and temperatures rising, sea levels rising, Arctic ice shelf in Antarctica collapsing, glaciers melting into the water. Yeah, we need more CO2. It's a good opportunity. Unbelievable. So for many years, federal and academic scientists have identified the Tongass Forest as an ecological oasis there, serving as a massive carbon sink. It has massive implications for in the environment. Key habitat for wild Pacific salmon that's there, trout, black-tailed deer, all kinds of other species in this area. Has the highest density of brown bears in North America. Some of these trees, by the way, I'm giving you half. Some of them are 1,000 years old. Some of these trees are 1,000 years old. So they're going to open up these roads now to allow them to build roads into these into this forest so these logging companies can go in and start cutting them down. Now, if Vice President Biden is elected president on November 3rd, he would immediately probably roll this back on January 20th and 21st when he's elected through executive order. But you have that window of time. So now all these logging companies can go in there and basically rape the countryside in a short amount of time. Build these roads, get in there, and start clear-cutting these forests. Tongass, Dominic DeSala, who's a chief scientist with the Earth Island Institute, says, wild tropical rainforests are the lungs of the planet. And he said, it's America's last climate sanctuary. So this will be published in the Federal Register, and it will allow 188,000 forested acres available for timber forest or timber harvest. Now, what about the senators? Dan Sullivan, our little crony Dan Sullivan, the senator from Alaska, who, of course, we've been following here on the show, watching that race closely because of his ties to the Pebble Mining. The Pebble Mine, of course, being in cozy with the Pebble Mine and trying to push for that. Being told to keep his mouth shut because these guys are donating so much money to his campaign and re-election. Where does he come down on this? He went to meet with President Trump months ago and lobbying him to have President Trump roll this regulation back. So Dan Sullivan says it'll be good for our economy because Alaska is hurting. I get that. But is this the answer to open up this pristine wildlife preserve? So that these logging companies could go in there and rape the side of the mountainsides in Alaska? That's going to help so many Alaskans. Are you kidding me? No, it'll make these big companies richer. That's what it'll do. So Dan Sullivan went to President Trump and asked him to roll these regulations back. And apparently in the meeting, this is interesting, according to the people that were in this meeting, President Trump said, I don't understand how you have an economy without roads. When the Washington Post reached out for comment from the White House on that, they didn't comment. They didn't verify that. They wouldn't say anything about it. How do you have an economy in Alaska that has no roads? So Trump's like, yeah, I want roads up there. Got to get roads. How do you have an economy? Through a rainforest. So President Trump has now rolled back or weakened more than 100 different environmental regulations. So add this to your quiver, Mr. President. Think elections don't matter? Through executive action, these things can be President Trump, President Clinton did it under executive action, protecting this forest. President Trump, through executive action, rolls it back. You don't think elections matter? They certainly do. Because we don't have to wait for Congress to get off its butt to do any of this. Going back to Theodore Roosevelt being able to push these executive actions through, the reason we have Yellowstone, the reason we have these pristine national parks, because of Theodore Roosevelt, a Republican. And by the way, my favorite president. Let me know your thoughts on this. How many Alaskans are watching this morning? Where do you come down on this? Should we open these timberlands up to logging? Or should we protect them? Let me know in the comments below. Thank you for subscribing to the channel. Well, this story absolutely infuriated me last night. If you were following me on Twitter, I'm Clayton Morris on Twitter, by the way. I was tweeting like mad about this because Boeing just announced that they are going to have to lay off an additional 7,000 people. Now, do you think that these are all executives making millions of dollars a year? No. These are not executives making lots of money. Of course not. These are low-level employees at Boeing that will now lose their jobs because Boeing says we're going to have to lay these people off. You know, we don't have any stimulus money. We don't have any stimulus money from the federal government. We don't have anything else, anybody bailing us out anymore. So we're going to have to lay off an additional 7,000 people. And to me, my mind exploded last night. So I started digging into the numbers because Boeing for me is, you know, when you watch this show, when I mentioned Lockheed Martin or Boeing, these are some of the companies that I'm constantly talking about as in the pockets of Washington, that Washington just lines the pockets of these defense contractors with billions of dollars in contracts every year paid for by you. You know, it's quite possible that of these 7,000 people that are about to be laid off, their tax dollars went in a circuitous way right back to Boeing, meaning they worked at Boeing. It's almost like a modern day version of sharecropping, isn't it? Like they're working at Boeing and then they get their taxes taken out of their paycheck. It goes to the federal government. The government then just sends it right back to Boeing. And these employees like, can I sleep on the land and have room and board? It's like people, you know, it's like people working for mining companies and having to rent the cot and the little bed and their pickaxe and their thing and their helmet from the mining boss so that they can go work in that mine and make $1 a month. So just to look at these numbers, just to give you a frame of reference of how much money we send to Boeing every year as a defense contractor. By the way, I looked through there's 30 to 50 companies that American taxpayers just pay billions of dollars to every year. And every year it goes up. Went up under President Trump. President Trump increased the amount of money going to Boeing by upwards of 20%. Boeing makes upwards of $40 billion a year from the federal government. Oh, and by the way, bailed out by Wall Street, helped in big ways by the federal stimulus back in March. So we bail out Boeing. We make sure that they're getting tons of money every year in the form of defense contracts so they can make jets and aircraft and things that we don't even use or need so that we can continue fighting endless wars in the Middle East while the American people suffer. On top of that, this was the thing that blew me away. Boeing yesterday, I'm going to quote, Boeing's third quarter earnings weren't as bad as expected. Boeing's third quarter earnings weren't as bad as expected. So they actually had, they're profitable. They actually did pretty darn well. Despite, I mean, all things being equal, they actually did pretty darn well in their third quarter earnings. So the federal government gives them $40 billion a year in contracts. That's not enough to keep these people employed. Can't Congress step in and say, Boeing, you're not going to lay off these 7,000 people, because if you do, we're going to cut your funding. But they don't have balls. They don't have a backbone. Every member of Congress has to answer to Boeing in some capacity. You know why? Because Boeing has been brilliant, building multiple headquarters in multiple states. So guess what? You always have a constituency that works at Boeing. And therefore, if you're a senator in this state or you're a congressman in that state, oh, I can't do that to Boeing because Boeing's headquarters is in my backyard. How many Boeing headquarters are there? Yeah, there's like 100. Why? Because they put them all over the place so that you're always in their backyard. You're always in a politician's backyard. Brilliant. Don't just have one headquarter. Have headquarters. Have buildings. Employ people in all of these different states. Because the government pays you to do it. So members of Congress, you can't go and say to Boeing, hey, we're going to cut your funding. No, they can't. Because all of their elections are also paid for. These politicians are all bought and sold by these companies that they funnel money to. They have carte blanche. They can do whatever they want. There's other big companies on this list as well. Tomorrow, maybe on the show, I'll go down the list of companies. I mean, you've got companies on there like Honeywell, Northrop Grumman, Lockheed Martin, and the list goes on. All companies you know well that you're paying for. Here's another one that we paid for. Walmart got plenty of money from the federal government. Walmart right now is truly looting America. If you think about the Walton family becoming $53 billion richer in the past few months during the pandemic, while cutting the pay and hours of its workers. So this headline this morning from Walmart. Walmart cuts workers' hours but increases workload as sales rise amid the pandemic. They have under Trump, they received a $2.2 billion a year tax break. And guess what they did with that money? This is what I've been saying, folks. Watch my show a few weeks ago where I talked about the coming collapse in the stock market. It's unfolding right now with this over-evaluated stock market, 70% higher valuations on stocks than even should be. Watch my full video on the stock market collapse. I'll make sure I have a card up here so you can see that if you're watching the replay. You'll see one of the big issues is that all of these companies are getting tons of money from the federal government in the form of tax breaks. First of all, they're not even paying anything in taxes, but then they're also getting stimulus money and additional tax breaks like Walmart. $2.2 billion a year under Trump. What do? Do they reinvest it into hiring more people? Research and development, like how can we make our stores safer for customers? How can we, you know, do better in the environment? How can we make sure, by the way, have you ever bought ground beef at Walmart? Pick up a package of ground beef at Walmart and you'll notice half of it, three, like if you buy, it's disgusting. You'll look at the countries, where does it come from? It's like they take ground beef from like countries all over the world, and they package it into one package. So you'll notice, oh, there's some meat in here from China. Yeah. Oh, there's some meat in here from Argentina and Montana. Huh, in this one package. Think about the carbon footprint and nastiness of that beef. I think this gives me chills. Three different countries' standards on what goes into their meat being flown all around the world somehow. And how did they wind up in this one package of ground beef? Now, they may have changed that since I reported on that just a short time ago, but I doubt it. Nevertheless, this company now is buying back shares of its own stock, $20 billion in stock they've bought back. So they're not hiring new people. They're not doing research and development at a level that we could be wow, they're doing all of this great stuff. How can they minimize packaging? How can they, you know, how can they do some amazing things? No, they're not doing that. By the way, that's why Congress says that we need stock incentive, tax incentives for these businesses. Anytime you watch a politician talk about giving tax breaks to businesses, they always say that it goes back to the worker, right? That the worker is going to get, they're going to be able to hire more people, increase people's salaries. Oh, and then they're going to do research and development. This is my favorite. Congress always says this. We need to cut taxes because companies need to do research and development. They're not doing it. We have enough evidence now to show you that that's not what's happening. So Walmart, yeah, Walmart cuts workers' hours, but increases their workload as sales rise. So now these workers will have to work less or fewer hours, but while they're there for their 15-hour shift or their 15 hours a week, they're going to have to work twice as hard, unloading, stacking more boxes, putting more product on shelves, distributing more things in the, you know, at Amazon distribution centers, like Amazon distribution centers, because online sales from Walmart are increasing. So sales are going up, profits are going up, but we're going to cut your hours. And on top of that, sidebar story that's still in the big business wheelhouse, but I just found it incredibly troubling. Of course, many of you know that one of the reasons I think you can't trust mainstream media is because it's all consolidated at the top. And all these billionaires that own these different media companies, there's like eight of them that own and control basically everything you see on CNN, Fox, MSNBC, the mainstream media, and read, pick up a USA Today. You want a joke? You want a joke of a newspaper? Pick up the USA Today. Run by Gannett. Massive. Think about the amount of money that's consolidated at the top. Jeff Bezos pays nothing in taxes. The owner of Amazon, richest man in the world, of course, bought the Washington Post a few years ago. And among other things, we now know, although they won't talk about it, and the Washington Post won't really even report on it, but that Amazon has a contract, a $5 billion contract, with the CIA. So the CIA gets to run their pipeline through Amazon's web services and Amazon Cloud. The CIA has a contract with Amazon for their web backend and infrastructure. Now we learn this morning that Jeff Bezos is in talks and would like to buy CNN. Well, we already couldn't trust. If you think you're now going to be able to trust, you know, I trust CNN to begin with. Now you're going to be able to trust CNN. All of these, you know, these billionaires that want to control the media narrative in this country and the censorship that unfolds as a result of this. I mean, just look at rich boy Jack Dorsey, founder of Twitter, who was on Capitol Hill yesterday. Actually, he wasn't on Capitol Hill. I think he was like in some bunker somewhere, like Ted Kaczynski up in Montana, being grilled by the Senate Banking Committee yesterday. And whoa, was this a lot of fun to watch. One thing was interesting, too, about this yesterday is that Jack Dorsey, I think Congress placed a little too much emphasis on Twitter. Like, a lot of people don't use Twitter. You know, it's not as popular as Facebook and Google. And yet there was an odd amount of time paid towards Twitter yesterday. But I think maybe rightly so, because of the really egregious censorship that they did a few days ago of the Hunter Biden story in the New York Post. Like, what gives you the right to censor speech? These major platforms which people rely on to read the news, to learn about what's going on in the world. Twitter has been held up over the years as a beacon of hope among journalists because we could actually get information out of authoritarian countries during uprisings. Think about the revolutions in Arab Spring. Thank you. It's been a little while since the Arab Spring. But Twitter was able to get information out of it because all people needed was a cell phone and a cell connection. They were able to get information out, vital information about what was happening, these uprisings. Has the power to overthrow governments, this communications channel. When all of this stuff is consolidated at the top and Jack Dorsey gets to sit back in his office, in his Silicon Valley office, and pick and choose or have a policy that picks and chooses who wins and who loses, that we're going to censor conservative voices. We're going to squash this Hunter Biden story. Great, let journalists discuss, let journalists get to the bottom of this. But you're going to pick and choose what news, pieces of news get on your platform. The same thing is true and happening on Facebook. Picking and choosing winners. What stories get elevated? Google the same thing. Go try to look for a negative story on Wikipedia, which is absolute garbage, Wikipedia. Go try to look for a negative story about Wikipedia and you won't find it till like page 2 of Google search results, 2 or 3. And even then it's buried. No one goes to page 2 of Google. Try to find that kind of stuff and you can't because these big companies push that stuff down, suppress it, quiet voices. We've seen it on YouTube. We've seen it other places. So Jack Dorsey got the brunt of Senator Ted Cruz's attack yesterday. Watch Senator Ted Cruz lay into him. And I just couldn't stand like Jack Dorsey's smugness about all. He's sitting there with this like Ted Kaczynski beard. Watch this. Too smart for you.
About the behavior of both of their companies. I would note that Facebook is at the minimum at least trying to make some efforts in the direction of defending free speech. I appreciate their doing so. Google, I agree with the concerns that Senator Klobuchar raised. I think Google has more power than any company on the face of the planet. And the antitrust concerns are real. The impact of Google is profound. And I expect we will have continued and ongoing discussions about Google's abuse of that power and its willingness to manipulate search outcomes to influence and change election results. But today, I want to focus my questioning on Mr. Dorsey and on Twitter. Because of the three players before us, I think Twitter's conduct has by far been the most egregious. Mr. Dorsey, does Twitter have the ability to influence elections?
No.
You don't believe Twitter has any ability to influence elections?
No, we are one part of a spectrum of communication channels that people have.
So you're testifying to this committee right now that Twitter, when it silences people, when it censors people, when it blocks political speech, that has no impact on elections?
People have choice of other communication channels with which...
Not if they don't hear information. If you don't think you have the power to influence elections, why do you block anything?
Well, we have policies that are focused on making sure that more voices on the platform are possible. We see a lot of abuse and harassment, which ends up silencing people and having them leave from the platform.
All right, Mr. Dorsey, I find your opening questions, your opening answers absurd on their face. Let's talk about the last 2 weeks in particular. As you know, I have long been concerned about Twitter's pattern of censoring and silencing individual Americans with whom Twitter disagrees. But 2 weeks ago, Twitter and to a lesser extent, Facebook crossed a threshold that is fundamental in our country. 2 weeks ago, Twitter made the unilateral decision to censor the New York Post in a series of 2 blockbuster articles, both alleging evidence of corruption against Joe Biden, the first concerning Ukraine, the second concerning communist China. And Twitter made the decision, number one, to prevent users, any user, from sharing those stories. And number two, you went even further and blocked the New York Post from sharing on Twitter its own reporting. Why did Twitter make the decision to censor the New York Post?
We had a hack materials policy
When was that policy adopted?
In 2018, I believe.
In 2018, go ahead. What was the policy?
So the policy is around limiting the spread of materials that are hacked. We didn't want Twitter to be a distributor for hacked materials. We found that the New York Post, because it showed the direct materials, screenshots of the direct materials, and it was unclear how those were attained, that it felt that it fell under this policy. Now,
so in your view, if it's unclear the source of a document, and in this instance, the New York Post documented what it said the source was, which it said it was a laptop owned by Hunter Biden that had been turned into a repair store. So they weren't hiding what they claimed to be the source. Is it your position that Twitter, when you can't tell the source, blocks press stories?
No, not at all. Our team made a fast decision. The enforcement action, however, of blocking URLs, both in tweets and in DM, in direct messages, we believe was incorrect. And we changed it.
Today, right now, the New York...
Still, to this day, it's blocked. So we acted quickly and unblocked it. That's the CEO of Twitter, Jack Dorsey, who literally looks like he just came out of a cave after a four-month sojourn. He's probably going to go back there soon. But we don't look like that. Did you see him? You want me to look like this? I know it's his right. Yeah, I'm sure he's suffering in his lockdown. Just, he's like Kim Kardashian, probably went to her private island for a little barbecue. But, you know, him saying we can just literally, we made a decision. We looked at it. We thought, well, you know, we don't know. We can't really verify where this came from. The dissemination of information. What about WikiLeaks? What about when information, and this is the reason that this is a joke, is because there's been plenty of situations where this information could have been out there in the public. Like Republicans missed opportunities yesterday to make for a case like why we need to have this change in the first place. Everyone knows that these guys lean left. They have opportunities to, they have plenty of opportunities when there's material that is favorable to Democrats that they let live on their platform. But when it's against Joe Biden, when it's against Democratic candidates, we deplatform them, we take them out of here, we throw them off. Some senators did push back on this, saying that censors in good faith without regard to political ideology. Mississippi Senator Roger Wicker pointed out that Twitter took 2 months to add a warning label to Chinese propaganda, suggesting that the U.S. military brought the coronavirus to China. That was okay for them to let that go on their platform for 2 months. So again, my point is, you're going to censor. What are you going to censor? You're going to just pick and choose? But I think this is clearly getting out of hand. You're seeing people's Twitter accounts being shut down. You're having people that are speaking out against... People on the far left, by the way, progressives who are speaking out against Biden, having their Twitter accounts taken down. Let me know your thoughts on this. What did you think of this testimony yesterday? I thought it was, I thought the smugness of Dorsey really stood out to me. I think they spent an inordinate amount of time going after Twitter. When again, I think we need to look more closely at Google, Facebook. The thing is, though, it's not going to happen, because when you have billions of dollars pouring in from these companies supporting these left-leaning candidates, it's going to be hard to affect change there. You're only going to be able to get out information. Like, I've had certain YouTube videos that have been hurt and blocked here because I've spoken out against Biden, and I've told you things here on this show that are true. And I've had ad suitability issues and other things that have popped up as a result of it. So thank you for supporting independent journalism. That's what the show is all about. We're going to continue to do these types of stories because I think they're important. No one's talking about them. And when you're going to have this consolidation, Jeff Bezos owning CNN, people being deplatformed because they're sharing information that might rub you the wrong way, we're going to silence those voices. I mean, this is the type of stuff that growing up we would talk about North Korea. We would talk about China. Like, can you believe they'll block social media sites in China? Yeah, it's happening here. Disgusting. Let me know your thoughts on this. And thank you for subscribing to the channel. You can subscribe to our morning newsletter, by the way. Morninginvest.com is the newsletter. It's totally free, delivered to your inbox first thing in the morning. So go there and subscribe. Thank you for being a great part of our community. Check in on the chat here. Any good chat stuff coming through? Kelly Conklin, they're starting to shut down restaurants over in Illinois. If the government wants to impose restrictions, they should be giving them stimulus or mind their own business. Yeah. But they won't give them stimulus like they do in other parts of the world. Clayton, why won't you talk about Sweden? They are not wearing masks and their case and death counts are lower than other countries. Yes, but when you compare it to the rest of Scandinavia, they actually have higher cases than other countries in that area. So, you know, it's going to be interesting to watch these countries now as cold weather really sets in and everyone's indoors. Are they taking that herd immunity approach? They've started to roll back on some of that approach, though, in Sweden. So the problem with Sweden is that if you're going to take this herd immunity approach, this idea that we're going to be seeding everybody, right? And which is eventually going to happen one way or the other through vaccines or some sort of herd immunity. Eventually, how many people will need to die in order for that to happen? Can we learn? Can we learn and get it under control? Can we learn and get it under control in some capacity? Grover doesn't think so. And let's take a look and see if I can get Sweden's numbers this morning. Where are Sweden's numbers this morning? So we have accurate numbers when we talk about this stuff. Let's talk about the global numbers. Can we open an outlet account if we're in the UK? I don't know, Margaret. Can you try to do that? Just go to morninginvest.com/outlet and just based on your location, see if you can sign up. Will you let us know? I don't know off the top of my head if you can. Cynthia Ann says, my friend is worried about his job with Boeing, and he has been over there for 30 years. Not a lot of job security there for high earners. So high earners also on the chopping block. 7,000 people about to lose their jobs there. Hecate's daughter says, I called a politician two naughty words about 2 years ago and got put in Twitter jail for 12 hours. Interesting. What is Twitter jail, by the way? Twitter jail. I'd like to know what that is. Okay, that's cool. I want to see I'm trying to look at the map here, see if I can pull this up, the latest numbers around the world and where we are with Sweden. So we have accurate numbers. Yeah, so let me pull up this map here of Sweden so everyone can get a sense of what we're talking about here. Show you the latest numbers right now, and it's not good. So people want to throw this Sweden argument around all the time. I appreciate you bringing it up, but we should talk in facts here. And these numbers are the global numbers. These are the same ones that the White House uses. Okay. Do you guys see Sweden up here at the top? Okay. See Sweden up there at the top? You have... I don't think you can see my pointer on screen, right? No, you can't. So you see Norway up there on the top, to the left, Sweden in the center, Finland to the right. Of the three countries... what's the darkest one? I'll give you a hint. It's the country that starts with SWA. I'm trying to see the recoveries in death, but I can't get this from this map at the moment. Let me see if I can on this other map. Okay, so to be comparable here, okay, Sweden's population is it 10 million? Right around the same number as Portugal, okay? Portugal is around 10 million, almost 11 million. Sweden's death numbers are nearly twice as high as Portugal's. Almost 6,000 deaths in Sweden as of this hour. That's Portugal, half of that. When you compare it with Norway, which has strict measures, so too does Finland, In Denmark, 716 deaths. Denmark has strict, very strict measures. Finland. Okay, let's compare Sweden to its next door neighbor, Finland. Finland has only 354 deaths compared to Sweden, upwards of 6,000 deaths. Norway, it's even lower than that in Norway. Let's keep going here. Keep going, Norway. How far down the list is Norway? Can't find Norway. I don't want to waste any more time on this, but this is fascinating. So there you go. Those are the latest numbers. So based on population, when you compare it to a country of equal population, Portugal, 10 to 11 million people that live in those countries. Portugal didn't have strict lockdown, social distancing, masks in stores, etc. You know, obviously the social distancing in restaurants, etc. Schools were obviously put on hold in the spring, but now are back. Same thing throughout the rest of Europe. So Sweden took a different approach, and they have nearly twice as many deaths and nearly, 10 times the amount of deaths as their neighbors, Norway and Finland. So there you go. That's the data. You be the judge. You be the judge. Eric W. says, Clayton, since July, Sweden has only had 10 deaths or less a day. Okay. All I'm saying is the number of deaths is close to 6,000. So, you know, I'm not an immunologist. I'm not a doctor. I'm certainly not a pandemic expert. All I'm saying is what the numbers are. And, you know, when you look at some of these countries that have strictest of measures put in place that have eliminated it. So look at Taiwan. You know, yes, an island country or an island, 200 cases, excuse me, in 200 days, they haven't had a coronavirus case. Ernesto Cornelius. I thought the death rate is flat, hasn't really gone up. The death rate in Sweden, HP addicts, I'm not sure. No, Jamie, Trump did not start this virus. No, it happened in a market inside of Wuhan, China. It's exactly where it started. Maya Kato says, I wish people would stop swallowing the CNN MSNBC line about this being a Trump virus. They can't. They can't because this is their narrative. This is the CNN MSNBC narrative, folks. These limo liberals that want Biden, you know, the numbers are in. More billionaires have donated to Biden's campaign. That's why he's overwhelmingly covered in cash right now, almost 5-1 from Hollywood and from Wall Street has paid Joe Biden's campaign. And those are the same people that run CNN and MSNBC. They're all friends. They all hang out together in the Hamptons and Westport, Connecticut. They're all cut from the same cloth. And they're all donating to Biden. And the thing that's working right now is the coronavirus. Trump would have gotten reelected. You know that, right? Trump would have likely, by all accounts, been reelected if coronavirus didn't hit. It would have been incredibly difficult. I cannot imagine Trump losing if coronavirus didn't hit. So, of course, they're going to go all in on this. To me, it's not necessarily about the mismanagement in the early days of the response and that month window where they did not mobilize and there hasn't been no national effort. They've been back, you know, pushing it to the states to handle this. I think it was a huge mistake. We are a federalist society. After all, we have 50 states, so we have to answer to them, of course. However, during extraordinary times, during wars, during pandemics, we could call upon these special acts to move more quickly and to deliver, to mobilize, get masks and PPE out to hospitals, et cetera, ventilators, hospitals that were flooded and didn't have proper capacity. No real plan in place, to be honest with you. So there were a lot of things that Trump screwed up in the early days of this, of course, pretending that this didn't exist and it wasn't a big deal and privately telling people like Bob Woodward that it was a big deal and it's worse than the flu and not wanting people to be scared about it, etc. But to me, his real failure is on the economy and his failure to lead on getting additional stimulus to the American people and saving jobs. He specifically had the opportunity to work with Mitch McConnell, Nancy Pelosi, and drill this through Mitch McConnell's head to get additional stimulus out to American businesses, put in place something like Canada, where we were able to pay, you know, if businesses aren't able to have customers come in the store, we're going to cover it, like in the UK and other places. Additional stimulus to the American people. But no. And now all of those people that have lost jobs, they're going to remember that. Joe Biden wasn't president. Who knows what he would have done, but he's not the president. So that falls clearly in his lap at this point. Make no mistake about it. And that's why this is the top issue right now on the ballot, is coronavirus and unemployment. The top. Thank you, everyone, for watching today. Thank you for subscribing. If you're new here, please hit that subscribe button. Like I said, YouTube tells me that I think about 70% of you aren't subscribed. You watch every day, but you don't subscribe. Or you're new here and you just found us. So we are the only progressive morning business news show that you're going to find covering these stories that I think matter to the American people. We're going to stick to our guns, even if the mainstream media or the social media wants to try to silence some of our videos here. We'll keep pushing on. Right, Grover? Come on up here, buddy. Stop biting me. All right, much love to everyone. Hope you have a great day. Be kind to each other. 5 days until the election. Please get your mail-in ballots done if you haven't done them already. Get those things in or drop them off at one of the drop boxes. Don't mail them. Yeah, don't be scared to mail them. But right now, there's a lot of states battling, of course, over whether or not these postmarks will be good enough. And will you take a road trip and drop it off at a ballot box if you would. Do that. Okay? All right. Much love to all of you. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Take care, everyone.
Did you know you can save up to 70% on the best brands just by shopping at FromRebel.com? We're talking about strollers, car seats, high chairs, espresso machines, cookware, everything you need for way less. Here's how it works. Every single day, Rebel drops thousands of new products on the site for up to 70% off. It is a constant stream of endless deals from top brands like Upa Baby, Nuna, Baby Bjorn, Breville, Nespresso, KitchenAid, Le Creuset, and more. But you have to act fast because every deal is one of a kind. So if you see something you love, make sure you add to cart fast. So stop paying full price when you don't have to. Whether it's baby gear, kitchen upgrades, or a treasure for your home you didn't know you needed, Rebel has it for way less, up to 70% less. Shop from Rebel.com and save big.